This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show with John Hendricks and Robin Mitchell. Now, Glacier Banks Community Conversations. 15 minutes with one of Northwest Montana's newsmakers.
Glacier Banks Totally Free Checking saves you both time and money. Visit your nearest Glacier Bank office today. There's a convenient location near you. Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender. And Robin, this morning we get to welcome our senior U.S. Senator, John Tester.
Yeah, good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. How are things?
Things are okay. I thought I was going to see you in person here this morning. I had some.
Well, I wish.
I had some bushwhack for you.
Well, son of a gun, that's a missed opportunity.
Well, we'll make it up to you, John.
All right. Good.
You know, good. So is this going to be the third time you're going to be sworn in as a juror while you're in the United States Senate?
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. I think that's more fingers than I got in my left hand, but I count them on my right hand, and that's right. I think it's the third time. So,
what do you think of all this?
Yep. Well, look, I'm still in process of reading the charges. We'll make a decision up later on what we're going to do. There's going to potentially be a debate. We're going to go in at 1 o'clock today, and we'll listen as we should. And I don't want to predetermine what's going on, but I will also say that, the fact that we've had three of these in the last, six years, however long it's been, I just think it really speaks to how broken it is in Washington, D.C. right now. And I don't say that with a lot of joy. I just think that there's a lot of folks back here that want to grind this place to a halt so we don't get anything done. And I think the fact that we didn't get appropriation bills done until a few weeks ago. I got mine out of committee in June, but with all the turmoil that was going on in the House with the speakership and voting for multiple speakers and then finally finding one and then having to renegotiate all the financial levels, which didn't have to be done, but some people had to make political points, so they did it. And it just puts everything off. The fact that we don't have a five-year farm bill done, we're still talking about that. This should have been done the end of September. Those kind of things just show how broken Washington, D.C. is. And I think the issues that revolve around impeachment are the same thing. If we weren't having the kind of challenges we have back here, I don't think you'd be kind of see the impeachment things happening, and I don't think you'd see things like appropriation bills continuing to be put off and put off and put off, and farm bills that aren't done on time, and those kind of things.
But John, there is progress on some things that are going on that seem to be going on in the background, and we never hear about them.
No, that's true. I mean, look, there's plenty of things we can talk about that are good. The things I just talked about right there are pretty basic to government. Funding government is a pretty basic duty of the House and the Senate. And we have not done it on a timely basis. And anybody that's in business knows that predictability and timeliness are the keys to success. And even though government is different than business, those are two foundational principles that we should be living off of. But on the good side of things, we continue to get some good things done. I'll give an example of a number of them. I mean, the infrastructure bill we got done, the PACT Act bill that I wrote and we got passed that deals with toxic exposure. I mean, those two things are generational in their effects on our country and on our veterans. Issues that flow around getting our workforce, our supply chain back into the United States with bills like the Chips and Science Act, so we aren't dependent upon South Korea or Taiwan for our chips. I mean, remember a few years ago, you drive by an auto dealership and they didn't have any new cars. That's because during the pandemic, the chips were becoming short supply, and we weren't building them here, so we had to depend on foreign countries because we outsourced that job of building chips. Well, we're bringing it back, and I think it's chips are important. Anything that's got an on-off switch has got a chip in it anymore.
Yeah.
And so those kind of things are really important. You know, the hunter safety thing that I was able to get done here last fall was important because kids got to know how to respect a weapon, and that's what hunter safety taught you, is how to respect guns. The issue around Paraguay beef, which the administration was going to take the ban off that, because I think there's people in the administration, particularly in the State Department, not even in the Ag Department, that were saying, you know, we got to have friends with Paraguay, which is, by the way, the right thing to do, but you don't put your number one industry at risk by bringing in beef that could be infected by foot and mouth disease, which is incredibly contagious, that we haven't had in the United States since 1929, and then think that that's going to be a good thing for our cattle industry. It wouldn't be. So we have our successes, and we have our ability to make sure that rural America is being heard. But the bottom line is that I wish we did a lot more putting things on the floor and voting on them. The Ukraine package is one that is absolutely essential if we're going to keep out of a war. Putin invaded a country because he could, and this country is a country that's fighting for democracy, wants to be like us, not like communist Russia. And we're sitting here, that supplemental came out in August, and we're still, it's over in the House, and they're still trying to figure out how to get it done, while Ukraine now, when they were winning, are now getting their butts kicked. And so those kind of things, which are truly mistakes that will impact us for decades to come, we need to read our history books and figure this stuff out so that we can maintain our position as the leading economic and military power in the world. And if we aren't going to do that, then things will change, and not for the better.
So the PEACS Act, Preserving Emergency Access in Key Sites Act, did I just make that up?
Well, you did that. You did that pretty good. You know, everybody has these acronyms they use, and this one happens to be PEAKS, P-E-A-K-S, and you just said it. I won't have to say it again. But what this impacts is our frontier areas in the state of Montana. This impacts our hospitals, our critical access hospitals that do not have ambulance services within 15 miles. So what's going on is Medicare doesn't pay for ambulance services in these critical access hospitals. They have no ambulance service. And so if they're going to get it, they got to get paid for them. What we're telling Medicare to do is pay for the ambulance service when there is no other ambulance service available for 15 miles. This deals with the most rural of rural of our hospitals. But in a state like Montana, we've got a number of those. And Granite County was the one that called me up and said, hey, we got this problem, and it's hurting our health care in Granite County. Can you do something about it? Over the years, we've seen private companies have closed down their emergency operations because they can't make their books balance. And so financially, they just can't make it work. So they just close their doors. And it ends up with communities, critical access hospitals in those communities, not having ambulance service. And they have to go a long ways to get it. That's extra dollars, extra costs. And Medicare needs to reimburse that. And that's what we're asking them to do.
All right. Senator John Tester, our guest. And good news when it comes to the SRS program. John will share that with us right after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You look around Columbia Falls, the stunning mountains, crystal clear lakes, beautiful valleys, and litter? Spring has revealed the need for caring people to tidy up our town. This is Caleb Bauman with Glacier Bank, member FDIC, hoping you'll help us clean the falls April 27th. Meet at Glacier Bank, 822 Nucleus Avenue at 9 a.m. Students, clubs, service organizations, moms, dads, kids, and grandparents, everyone who cares about our community is welcome to help. After picking up the trash left behind this winter, lunch will be served by the Columbia Falls Lions Club and fantastic prizes will be awarded. It will be a great day, one Glacier Bank is proud to be a part of. Questions? Come by Glacier Bank in Columbia Falls or call us at 406-751-4767. Thanks to you, our town will shine again.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is John Hendricks.
And today we're talking with Senator John Tester. So, John, SRS, some good news about Secure Rural Schools program. I think you're on mute there, John.
You're exactly right, I was. If you're involved in county government, Flathead County, Glacier County, Lake County, the counties around the Flathead there, or any county, particularly in western Montana, forested counties, secure rural schools is dollars that comes from the federal government to offset taxes that would have been paid if it would have been in private ownership, okay? When we did the bipartisan infrastructure bill, we've gotten a lot of input from counties that it's just never been where it needs to be. And quite frankly, we were able to put some dollars into that program. And here last week, we were able to announce those dollars that were in that bipartisan infrastructure bill going out to the counties. And for Flathead, it was a significant amount. It's about $1,237,000 actually. Glacier County was a little less, quite a little less. But the bottom line is that these are federal dollars that the counties use for a number of things. They use it to support schools. They use it for road maintenance. They use it for emergency services, law enforcement, fire departments, making sure that if they want to do some restoration on public lands and county projects that are high priorities, they have flexibility to be able to do that. So, you know, they always say that best government is government closest to the people, and that is correct. And I think if we're able to take and put these dollars in the county commissioners' pockets, they will do target investments that will make sure that kids have quality public education, make sure our firefighters and law enforcement are still on the beat, and make sure that our roads are drivable without bouncing you off of them. So this is going to help in a big, big way, particularly Flathead County. So, you know, it's just another part of the thing. You know, it's interesting because I have people say all the time, you know, where I talked to a student group from Sydney, Montana yesterday, and they said, well, where do you get your ideas? Well, I get them from Montanans. And so, you know, the county commissioners got a hold of me, and they said, hey, look, secure rural schools could have a few more bucks in it. It would help us out a lot. We're having our challenges coming out of the pandemic and all that. And so we were able to do it. And in the end, I think people will really see how these dollars are being spent in a way that will help their communities.
There's one other of those programs, too, and I'm trying to say the name of it. It has to do with... I'm sorry?
Payment in lieu of taxes.
That's
payment
right.
Lieu of taxes.
Right.
It's called PILT. And by the way, John, don't feel bad on that. I had a heck of a time remembering it, too. But that deals... Secure Rural Schools deals with forested counties, mainly. And PILT deals with, you know, where I live, grassland and farmland. And so... they're both really important, and they both go in to the county's coffers at different levels, depending on how much forested acreage they have that's owned by the federal government and how much grassland and cropland that's owned by the federal government.
And the PILT funds have always been a big deal here in Flathead County, and everybody's always kind of on edge wondering, are we going to get them this year?
Yeah, well, yeah, and they will. I mean, the issue becomes... what's the level going to be? Is it going to be adequate? And you know, I guess probably they're never adequate because people always want more money. But the truth is that, you know, these are two really important programs that helps the counties that have a lot of federal land in them make it so they can still provide services to the people.
And that's why it's so important to us here in Flathead County. And these funds came about because of the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Am I correct here?
We were able to plus up the funds. They're still going to get the generally appropriated dollars that we have in our regular budget that we pass. This is over and above what they normally get. So,
okay, well, that's the kind of good news we love hearing, John. The southern border, that's the bad news we seem to love to hear, and we'll hear more about that from John's perspective after this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do looks matter? In this case, yes. You're here with Cambria Ulrich for Glacier Bank, member FDIC. If you take pride in the way our town looks, and we have a feeling you do, you'll help clean the fish April 27th. Caring locals gather at Glacier Bank, 319 East 2nd Street at 8:30 a.m. Coffee, juice, and breakfast in the parking lot, then out into nearby neighborhoods to tidy things up. trash bags, gloves, and reflective vests will be provided. Back at the bank, lunch is served at 11:30. High fives and big thanks for all your hard work, plus prizes. A $100 gift card for adults and two bikes in different sizes for kids. Glacier Bank appreciates you being there, for cleaning the fish, and for taking pride in our community. The way our town looks makes a difference. What truly matters? Your caring.
Glacier Bank's Community Conversations. Here again is Robin Mitchell.
Our conversation this morning with Senator John Tester, and John Hendricks is right. The southern border, we hear about it all the time. And, of course, fentanyl, which is the real problem. But I understand most of the interdictions are actually made at the regular border crossing points.
That's correct. That's correct, Robin. Look, it's a huge issue in the country, probably the number one issue in Montana for sure that people are talking about. We need to know who's coming across that border, and illegal crossings simply shouldn't be happening. About 70 days ago, a little over 2 months ago, we had an opportunity, Congress had an opportunity to change asylum law and put basically invest about $20 billion into technology and manpower on the southern border. And because there were some people here in Congress, a lot of people here in Congress, that said, no, we don't want to fix the problem, we want to play politics with it, that bill didn't pass. And that was a bipartisan bill that was negotiated by a Democrat, a Republican, and an independent over 4 months. Wasted opportunity that could have literally shut the border down with the change in the asylum language. Well, we have the appropriation bills that we just passed here a couple weeks ago. I was able to put some stuff in that I fought for in tech and Border Patrol specifically. And we got the highest level of funding for hiring of Border Patrol agents that we've ever seen. And we've got some additional folks coming into the Customs and Border Protection, because you're right, Robin, the fentanyl is coming across in trucks and cars. There's a little coming across in backpacks, but the vast, vast, vast majority is coming through our ports of entry in cars and trucks. And by the way, the other thing that bill would have done that we didn't pass 2 months ago, would have put X-ray devices up on the border station, where we could have X-rayed not 100%, but a lot, very much a lot of the cars coming through. And now they X-ray, I think it's less than 5%. That would have had an incredibly positive impact for American families when it comes to stopping fentanyl from coming into this country. But nonetheless, through the appropriation bills, we've got some stuff done. And we'll see if the president does some things to help close up the border through presidential orders, edicts, whatever you want to call them. But the bottom line is this, from my perspective, on the southern border and the northern border too, by the way, and we need more agents on the northern border. And we oftentimes talk about the southern border, but the northern border, the bad people will come to the weakest link in the fence. And if it's the northern border, that's it. If it's our ports, on our seaports, they'll come there. If it's the southern border, which is what they're doing now, they'll come there. But the bottom line is that we need to know who's coming across that border. And it's a dangerous world. We talked about what's going on in Ukraine. We could talk about what's going on in the Indo-Pacific. And we saw what's going on in Israel earlier this week. We know what's going on with some of the division this country with radicalization here. And so we need to make sure we know who's coming across that border. And if there gets to be too many of them, we've got to be able to shut that border down. The bill we had 2 months ago would have done all of that and a whole lot more. But unfortunately, politics overran good policy, which is very, very unfortunate. And by the way, we're seeing the results of that on TV right now with many of the ads that are being run. But the bottom line is we're going to continue. I'm going to continue to work to make sure that we have secure borders and that we limit the illegal immigration of this country to as close to zero as we can get.
Well, I take your point on that, John, completely. But let's not make it so difficult that American citizens have trouble getting back home.
You're 100% right, and you are 100% right, and that has to be part of the equation. The other thing that has to be part of the equation, we are a nation of immigrants, and you can talk to just about any businesses out there. They're looking for employees, and quite honestly, legal immigration is something that Congress has also not dealt with at all, and it's something that is pretty critical to this country's future. I maybe mentioned this to you guys before. I've told this story a number of times. A guy sent me President Reagan's giving Mike Mansfield the Presidential Medal of one of them, Medal of Honor, Medal of Freedom, whatever it was. Big time honor for Mike Mansfield. And I brought it up. I wanted to hear what Mansfield had to say. I listened to what Reagan had to say. He gave a heck of a speech. It was one of his last days in office. And he said, this country is the greatest country on earth because of our immigration policy and what that's given to this country. That was 40 years ago. I don't think things have changed. I think immigration is still an important part of this, but it has to be legal. People have to get in line. They have to learn the language. They have to pay their taxes. It has to be legal. They just can't be coming across because we don't have the kind of security we need at the southern border. So you're right. When it comes to traveling abroad, we go to Canada a fair amount. Coming back in, it can't be, you can't, you know, they got to make sure it's you, but they shouldn't be hassling you to death.
Yeah. John, is always a great conversation. Thank you so much for all you're doing for us back there. And, you know, for goodness sake, stay safe out there.
We'll do it. And enjoy the great Montana spring. I guess it's a little wintery today, but it'll be summer by weekend. Yeah?
Oh, thank you.
Take care, John. It's Glacier Bank's Community Conversations, a service of Glacier Bank, where your checking is totally free. Just about anywhere you are in Northwest Montana, you'll find a Glacier Bank office nearby, keeping you connected to your friends and your community, an important part of the mission of Glacier Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.